Today we're going to be talking about finding our lost treasure. Sadly, we're going to learn that for most of us, the treasure hasn't even been lost. We've just lost our thankfulness for it. And so it's extremely important that we stay thankful to our God for his many blessings that we already have. After a while, we can start to take almost every blessing God has given for granted, and we forget to be thankful. And that's when we start to complain. And that's when we find God getting hot with us. And he starts to take away the blessings. So we're going to stand together today. We're going to read Luke chapter 15, starting in verse 1. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners, and he eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and he goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and they say, "Rejoice with me, I've found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there'll be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Father, bless us today. Help us to not take our blessings for granted. Help us to keep thankfulness uppermost in our hearts, because everyone in this room has many, many blessings. And sometimes, Lord, we forget. Bless us and open our eyes to what you've already done and what you've promised to do for those that love you. And Father, we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. One of the greatest secrets of maintaining a truly thankful spirit is to know the true value of something is not on how much it appreciates, but on how much it's appreciated. You know, if you listen to different financial advisors, they tell you, don't spend too much money on a car. Do you know why you don't want to spend too much money on a car? Because almost never does it appreciate. It doesn't go up in value. Most of the time when you buy a brand new car, you take it off the lot, you've just lost 20% of the money. If you were to sell it the next day, you'd get 20% less. They'll tell you to invest in a home. Why? Because a home usually appreciates. My granddaughter up in the UP is about to sell her home. She paid $64,000, I think, 4 years ago. She's selling it for $119,000 now. Why? Because the value of property goes up normally. Once in a while, not. But what the Lord wants us to do today is not worry about whether things appreciate in value, but he wants us to appreciate what we have. Folks, so many people don't appreciate what the Lord has already given. They just take it for granted. Well, yeah, I've had that for 20 years. I've been married 50 years. It's no big deal. Do you know how many people wish they could be married 50 years? Do you know how many people wish their mate was back with them again? My older brother lost his wife last year, married 1 week short of 60 years. Every time I talk with my brother now, he's got tears. He loved his wife dearly. He appreciated her, and he still appreciates her. Folks, it's so important we learn appreciation. I wonder, you know, the man that we read about that lost his one sheep, he had 100 of them. How long had it been before he lost a sheep that he thanked the Lord for the 100 sheep that he had? We begin to take things for granted. Yeah, I've had 100 sheep. My grandpa had 100 sheep, and my dad had 100 sheep, and I got 100 sheep. It's no big deal. Well, try to go without sheep for a while. Don't have food to eat for a while, and you'll find out what a big deal it is. Don't have the wool to make the clothing from. You'll find out what a big deal it is. In Luke chapter 15, verse 3 again, then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And whenever he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders. And he goes home, then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Now let me ask you a question. How many of us are righteous enough in this room that last week you didn't have to repent of anything? Not me, I can tell you that. Folks, do you understand the problem here? Those people that were self-righteous, those Jews who thought, I've got it all together, they aren't thankful to God because they don't need God. I can take care of myself. I'm a perfect person. I obey the law of Moses without flaw. Folks, if you ever meet somebody, I met a man at work. He was a Christian man. And we got talking, and we were on the assembly line back then. That was years ago, probably 50 years ago. And we got talking about sin, and he said, well, I haven't sinned in 15 years. I thought, whoa, man, 15 years. I said, if I can ask you a question, please don't get mad, but I need to ask you. Have you ever gone over the speed limit in those 15 years? Yeah, but never on purpose. I said, my friend, tell that to the policeman, because he's going to give you a ticket. It doesn't matter if you break it on purpose or not on purpose. You broke it. Because the Bible says, obey every law of man. This is well-pleasing in God's sight. People who don't think they need to repent are missing the boat entirely. They're missing one of the greatest blessings of God. The Bible says if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And then the best part, to cleanse it out of our life. If you don't confess, it's never going to be cleansed. You're never going to stop doing it. There's nothing wrong with going over the speed limit as long as you don't do it on purpose. There is something wrong. Folks, people who are self-righteous forget and take for granted the grace of God. It's by grace we're saved, through faith. And even the faith isn't from ourselves. It's God's gift. We got to be thankful. I wonder how long it had been, the lady that had 10 coins. How long had it been since she praised God that she had 10 silver coins? It wasn't until she lost the one that she realized how precious it really was. In Luke 15:8, or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I found my lost coin. And we should rejoice when the Lord answers prayer and we find things. But folks, wouldn't it be more blessed to give the Lord thanks before you lose things? To tell Him, Lord, I'm so thankful that car that's out front, it may not be new, Lord, but you've kept it running all these years and it's faithful. I thank you. Do you have to have a brand new one before you can give thanks? I hope not. I hope you can give thanks for what you have. Jesus continued in Luke 15, verse 11. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there he squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him in his fields to feed the pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. Folks, This young boy who lived with his father had a steady income all the time he was with his dad. He had good work to do. He had plenty of food, plenty to drink, but he was unthankful. He stopped being thankful for the blessing, and he wound up losing them all. I can't tell you how many people have so much to be thankful for, but they're not thankful for what they have until they lose it all. If you don't have a thankful heart, the Lord's going to start taking things away. You have to understand how this works, because many people don't understand it. He was unthankful that in his father's house, he always had all the food he needed. He always had all the rest he needed. He had everything he needed. But he wasn't content because he wanted the wildlife. And he found out that the wildlife will rob you. Do you understand? Satan goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he can devour, and he's a robber. He'll steal things from you that you have taken for granted. In Luke 15, verse 17, talking about that young boy, after he wasted it all, he's in a pig pen. He's eating pods. He's not eating the vegetables in the pods. He's eating the pods. That's all there is. It says, when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I'll set out and go back to my father. And I'll say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. Then the son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead, and he's alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. And we would think everybody's going to be happy. But that's not the case, is it? This man had an older brother, and the older brother didn't take his father's money and waste it on wild living. But the older brother, even though he's in all the blessings, he's got all the food he needs, everything he needs, everything that's left is going to be his. I don't know if you understand this about the Old Testament times, or New Testament times even, but the oldest son got a double part of the inheritance. The younger sons got one part. The older boy got two parts. This boy is going to come into two-thirds of his father's entire estate, but he's not thankful. You can have everything God could possibly give you and have an unthankful heart. Here's the warning in Luke 15, verse 26. So he called one of his servants and asked him what was going on. Your brother has come, he replied, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has him back safe and sound. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaying for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when his son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fatted calf for him. My son, the father said, you're always with me, and everything I have is yours. Folks, do you understand? If you're with your heavenly Father, if you're in right relationship with Jesus Christ, everything the Father has is yours. Wow. How much is that? That's everything there is. You already have it. This boy, the older son, was going to inherit all that his father had. No, the father hadn't thrown a big party for him yet. But there's going to be a big party coming from that boy. When that father passes this earth and passes the inheritance on to him, how much is he going to get? He's going to get it all. You understand? He stopped appreciating what was going to be his. He started taking it for granted. Folks, don't ever take for granted the blessings God has given you and the blessings that he's promised you. It's a warning for all God's children. You can be right in the middle of God's blessing and not be thankful. Folks, it's a dangerous place to be. We have to maintain thankful hearts. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17, it says, "Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they'll lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so they may take hold of life that's truly life." God wants you not only to be thankful for what he's given to you, but he wants you to use what he's given you to bless others that don't have as much. Because that's how we earn earthly treasure that'll go right into heaven and be yours forever. In 1 Corinthians 4:7, there's a question asked, and it's a question you have to answer. "For who makes you different from anyone else? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not?" We can get to the point where God's richest blessings are taken for granted and we lose our thankful hearts. So how do we handle this? How do we keep giving thanks? I've got 5 reference points I want to talk to you about today. The first reference point is I want you to theoretically think what your life would be like if you weren't here in the United States of America. Do you know that 90% of the people of the world's population would gladly change places with you tonight? Those people that are living in Calcutta, that have a little cardboard box that they live in, that are in abject poverty, that are drinking water out of a stream that's totally polluted, would gladly change places with you, live in your house with a nice, comfortable bed. You got couches, you got TVs, you got radios, you got heat, you got air conditioning, you got a car out front. Would they trade their donkey for your car? In a heartbeat. Folks, we get to the point we start to complain because the car's got a chip on it. Oh, how awful. Folks, we lose our thankful hearts. You've got a car that can take you 55 miles an hour down the highway and get you from here to Saginaw in about a half an hour. And yet we're not thankful. Folks, it's so important we understand this because God wants to remind us not to take our blessings and be unthankful. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, "Each of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be glory and power forever and ever." Folks, the children of Israel, as they come out of Egypt and they cross the Red Sea, they're in the desert. There's no food. There's between 2 and 3 million people, they tell us, and there's no food and there's no water. And God supplied manna 40 years in a row for the people and water to drink. And yet they became unthankful. "We have nothing but this rotten manna." Folks, it kept them alive. And they lost their thankful heart. And because of that, God brought judgment. When we lose our thankful hearts, when we don't have the perspective that God has blessed me, I want to be thankful, God begins to take away the blessing. Reference point 2. Remember what it was like to do without. All of us have had times in our lives when we didn't have so much. One man who lived through the Great Depression said when he was a boy, His parents couldn't afford to buy new shoes for him. He said he was always thankful for the many different shoes that he wore, and he had a lot of holes in the soles. But he was thankful. Why? Because he did have shoes. They may not have been perfect, stirring up memories of past times when you didn't have can help us to stay thankful. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Even when things are going wrong, we don't have to thank God for what's going wrong, but we have to thank Him for the circumstance. Why? Because we believe God will work that circumstance for our good if we love Him and we're called according to His purpose. We want God to be called according to our purpose. And God says, no, that's not the way it works in the kingdom of God. I call you for my purpose. And folks, once we understand that, we can maintain a thankful heart. The third reference point of losing and recovering blessings. It's so important to understand that you can lose your health. And many have. We just prayed for Brother Frank. Frank, strong, healthy man, one of the strongest men I've ever known, and now his health is going. Folks, we need to be thankful before we lose it. We need to thank the Lord that our hearts are strong, that our eyes are halfway good, that we can still hear, that we can still taste. Mimi can't taste hardly anything now after her stroke and her seizure. She can taste something that's real spicy, but not much. The rest of the food is all the same now. How long has it been since you thanked the Lord for the taste of a good steak or a good burger or even a good hot dog or brat? Folks, we need to be thankful. We can taste. We can hear. We can see. We can smell. Yesterday, we were over at a friend's house and they gave us some lilacs. That's my favorite flower. I just love the smell of lilacs. Hope I don't ever lose that smell. Our prodigal son, the older brother, because he was prodigal too, even though he stayed home, he had left in his heart. He was not thankful for what he had. In Luke 15:28, the older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fatted calf for him." "My son," the father said, "you're always with me, and everything I have is yours." Do you understand God has given you all things today? It's yours. You don't have to look for more. It's all at your disposal. The Lord wants to bless you with it. That son, when his brother was starving in the pig pen, that son was eating fatted calves every day. The father supplied the food, but the son stopped giving thanks. Because it's not fair. You threw a party for him, and you never threw a party for me. But he did feed him every day. He loved him every day. He took care of him every day. He never went without. His brother went without. And when you become unthankful, you're going to start going without. And so keeping a thankful heart, the fourth reference point, compare yourself with a worse situation. I don't care what your situation is in life, there's always somebody in a worse situation. Clarence, we're going to talk about Clarence for a minute. Clarence was a very poor man with a large family. He had 6 children. And he had a problem because he didn't have much money. The problem was the washing machine was breaking down. He wasn't going to be able to wash the clothes for those kids. And the other problem was 3 of his children had holes in their shoes and they needed shoes. But Clarence couldn't get both. So he decided he'd buy a used washing machine. So he went and looked at the paper and he found a used washing machine for sale. went over and talked to the folks, and they lived in a very lavish home, had lots of money, it was obvious. And when he told them his story, they sold him that washing machine at a very reduced price. And Clarence said, well, I sure praise the Lord for you selling me that washing machine so cheap, because it was either going to be the washing machine used, and my children who have holes in their shoes aren't going to get shoes, or I was going to get shoes and they wouldn't have clean clothes. He said, I'm sure you've never come into that problem. And when he said to the husband and wife, I'm sure you've never had that problem, the wife began to cry. And she went out of the room. And Clarence apologized, I hope I didn't say something to offend. And the man explained, Clarence, we've got one child, one daughter. She was crippled at birth. She has never walked. She will never wear out a pair of shoes. And Clarence went home rejoicing because he had six healthy children. And he praised the Lord for worn out shoes. Folks, that's what the Lord's looking for from us. He's looking for us to have a thankful heart. There's always something worse than your situation. We need to start thanking the Lord for the things we haven't had go wrong. But we don't until we get there. Folks, it's so important. In 2 Corinthians 10, verse 12, we do not dare to classify or compare ourselves with someone who commended themselves. When they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are not wise. There's two ways to compare yourself with others. The one way is not wise. I'm sure glad I'm smarter than they are. I'm glad I'm stronger than they are. I'm glad that I got my act together. Or you can say, Lord, I'm so glad I am not there. Some of these things they brought on themselves. Some of the things are just normal birth. But I'm so glad that I'm not there. I'm thankful right where you got me, Lord. Folks, let me ask you, do you appreciate what God has given you right now? Or do you need twice as much in order to be happy? Folks, some people are never going to be thankful because they always need more and more and more. When is enough enough? The fifth reference point is the experiences that have not happened to us yet. Some of you remember the name Dale Carnegie. When I was a young man in the shop, my brother was a foreman in the shop, and he took the Dale Carnegie course on how to influence friends and people, you know. And I thought, wow, that's really something. Well, Dale Carnegie was given to depression, and he fell into a deep depression, and the only way he could figure to get out was to start writing down things that hadn't happened yet. So he made this list. He said, I'm going to imagine that my children are in jail, that my wife has left me, that I'm flat broke, that my health is ruined. And then he took a pencil and he scratched off, no, my children are not in jail. I should be thankful for that. No, my wife has not left me. I should be thankful for that. No, I'm not flat broke. We should be thankful for that. And my health is not ruined yet. Now, in the end, all of us, our health is going to go. But not yet. Folks, are you thankful that you're healthy today? Or do you just take that for granted? Are you thankful today you've still got a little bit of money in the bank? Now, not much. We're not rich people. But we've got enough. And that should be something we should rejoice in. Our health is pretty good, most of us. Now, not perfect, no doubt about it, but pretty good. When's the last time you thanked the Lord that you were healthy, that you can still walk and run? I mentioned before, Joel, when he went to school as a boy, had a little friend that never could run. He was in a wheelchair all of the days of his life. When's the last time you thanked the Lord that you still can walk? I'll tell you, Mimi didn't think she was going to walk again. And there was a while it didn't look like it. But the Lord restored. And she's more thankful today than ever that she can get around. After completing that course, Dale Carnegie became a different man. He had a thankful heart. Folks, just list some of the things that your friends are going through that you're not going through yet. We are going to have trouble. Jesus said in this life, you're going to have trouble. But he didn't stop there. He said, rejoice because I've overcome the world. And because we're in him, guess what? We're going to overcome this world too. We're going to have heaven for home. We need to be thankful that we haven't killed anybody yet. Now, maybe you've wanted to. I can think of a couple people I'd like to have taken out in my lifetime, but I'm glad I didn't. I'm glad and thankful that I've never abused anyone that I know of, physically or sexually. I've never done that. I'm glad and thankful that I'm not bankrupt. I'm glad I've got a little. I need to be thankful that we haven't been treated the way the Apostle Paul was treated. Do you know the Apostle Paul was treated terribly for his faith for Christ? Do you know that around this world today, many are dying for their faith? Many are in prison and gulags because of their faith? Folks, aren't you thankful that you don't have to do that? In 2 Corinthians 11, verse 23, here's what the Apostle Paul went through. He says, are they servants of Christ? I'm out of my mind to talk like this. I am more. I've worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 time I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in dangers from bandits, in dangers from fellow Jews, in danger from the Gentiles, in danger in the city, and in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I've labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I've been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. I'm glad I don't have to go through that. We live in a country where we can express our faith freely. How long has it been since you thanked the Lord that you could go to church without going to jail? Folks, there are countries in this world, if you go to church and they know you're assembling in the name of Christ, you're going to lose your life. I'm thankful I live in a country where that's not the truth. In Isaiah 55, verse 1, it says, come all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come and buy and eat. Come and buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me and eat what is good, and you'll delight in the richest affair. Give ear and come to me. Listen, that you may live. I'll make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love, promised to David. How long has it been since you thanked the Lord that the Holy Spirit is living in you? When you talk about the temple of God, I hope you're not talking about this building, because this building is just an assembly place where Christians come. You, if you've received Christ, you are the temple of God. God is in you. It says in John 7, verse 37, on the last and greatest night of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, let anyone who's thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. By this he meant the Spirit, who those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. Have you thanked the Lord recently that you as a believer in Christ can tell your children and your grandchildren, and if you live long enough, your great-grandchildren, what you know about Jesus Christ? Folks, you are a source of life. You can pass the life of Christ that you have onto the next generation. What a blessing we have as children of God. How long since you praised the Lord for the gift of his only begotten Son? Folks, that's a gift given to you because God loves you. In John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they've not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. How long has it been since you gave thanks to God that you saw the light? You understood the gospel. You didn't do that because you're smart enough. You didn't do that because you're holy enough. You did that because God opened your eyes. God gave you that light. How long has it been since you praised God that you have, right now, the gift of eternal life? You are going to live forever in the new heaven and the new earth. Yes, maybe you don't have that new car yet you've always wanted. Maybe you don't have that big house you've always wanted. Maybe you don't have a 5,000-acre farm, or whatever else it is that the Lord laid on your heart that you'd like to have. But Lord, it's all going to be yours for all eternity. In Revelation 21:1, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he'll dwell with them, and they'll be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He'll wipe every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I'm making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it's done. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I'll give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all this. I'll be their God, and they will be my children. We mentioned that Satan's a robber. If you think back to the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve had how much of what they needed in that garden? Everything. They didn't want for one single thing. But then Satan came along in the form of the serpent and said, God's holding out on you. Because God knows the day you eat of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you're going to be just like God. And they did. And Satan robbed them. And the robbery has gone on from the Garden of Eden right till today. Folks, we don't want to lose a thankful heart. If Eve had said to the serpent, God has given me everything I need, I can't need one more thing, I don't need to be like God. I'm very content. The Bible says godliness with contentment is what? It's great gain. Folks, if you can get to the point where you're content with what you have and you're thankful for what you have, you don't have to be a multimillionaire to do that. I can do that, and I'm certainly not a multimillionaire. We've been totally pleased with what God has done for years. You don't have to rule the world. You don't have to be the most popular person in the world to have a thankful heart. You just need to be content, because God has given us what? Everything we need. I have never gone hungry one day in my life unless I wanted to. First, God used my parents, who had 8 children and not much of an income, but they supplied everything we needed. Now, we had a lot of hand-me-downs. I was the baby. I wore blue jeans that were probably 20 years old. Why? Because the oldest brother had it, passed to the next brother. If they didn't wear totally out, my mom was a great seamstress. She could patch it. And patch she did, and wash she did. But we were thankful. We always had plenty of food. When Christmas came, it's not like Christmas today. Christmas today, you go to the celebration, how many gifts did the kids get today? 20, 30, 40, 50 presents. We got one. We got one Christmas Eve and a smaller one Christmas Day. Folks, that was it. But we were thankful. They were such wonderful gifts. Mom and Dad had thought all year, we're going to have to sacrifice for this, but we want the kids to be really happy. And they would pick something that it might be used. I never had a new bike till after I was an adult. All my bikes were hand-me-downs, but they were great. They worked. My dad fixed them. My dad and mother supplied. Our God in heaven has supplied. The time you begin to appreciate it is the time that you're going to be a happy, happy person. A grateful heart is a happy heart. A complaining heart, no matter how much they have. You can have the newest car on the block. You can have the biggest house on the mile. But somebody else puts up something bigger or better. And all at once, you can't be happy. You're missing the whole point. God gives us, each one of us, different. But God does give us all that we need. We simply need to maintain a thankful heart. And if we do, God has promised to bless us not just in time, but in eternity. We can be just like the older prodigal son, who stayed in the father's house, but are totally unthankful. Folks, you don't want to be there. You want to be that son that says, my father has given me everything I need, and I'm thankful. Because that's where the blessed heart is. That's where the cheerful life is. That's where the life that's worth living is. Father, fill us with an attitude of gratitude. An attitude that says, my Father's given me everything that's good for me. Your word says, no good thing does the Lord withhold from them that walk uprightly. If it's good for us, you're going to give it. If you don't give it, it means it's not good for us. Father, help us to be thankful that you are a loving Heavenly Father. And Lord, we're going to give you the praise today in Jesus' holy name. Amen.